Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Philippians. Today we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look first at verses 1 through 8. And we're going to entitle this passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, Practical Instructions to the Christians. Practical Instructions to the Christians. These are practical instructions given by Paul to the Philippians on how to live their lives. These instructions are needful for us as well. These deal with your, first of all, personal life. Look at in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We see where Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. If you think about it, we couldn't stand any other way, could we? And we're to stand fast in the Lord, and this is to keep you and I from losing ground. Now, the best way to hold your ground is to hold on to the King James Version of the Bible and let it hold you. You see, the church has lost a lot of ground since giving up on the King James Bible. As a result, we see in the church lower morals, worse music, worse standards, modern Bibles. The churches have become very carnal. They've become impoverished while claiming to be rich. Now, these problems that are so evident in the church are the result of losing ground in our personal lives. Well, you've got the right Bible, but that Bible doesn't have you. Amen? You see, we're allowing things today that Paul wouldn't have allowed in his life. Even our forefathers wouldn't have allowed in their lives. As a result, we have not held our ground. We've lost ground. You see, we've allowed entertainment and personal pleasures and sports to steal our Sunday worship and our desire to live for the Lord. To many, Sunday is just another day of the week, and few of those are truly devoted to the Lord. As we look at these instructions, these practical instructions to Christians that Paul has given us, these deal with our not only our personal life, but our family life. Notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Word of God says this, I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, we ought to be getting along. We ought to have the same mind in the Lord. It's hard to be of the same mind any other way. Now, some say these two are women. Some say that Euodias was the wife and Syntyche was her husband. That he is the one addressed as true yoke fellow in the next verse. Though Euodias and Syntyche could be women, but in Christ, they are still in the same family. So they need to be of the same mind in the Lord. The way to do that is to be humble under the common authority of God's words. You agree with God, and therefore, you should agree with each other. We need to have family altars. There's a story told of a traveler who stayed the night in a home And he didn't see family devotions and left because he said, I would not stay where the family doesn't have family devotions, and moved to where the family spent some time in prayer and Bible before retiring for the night. You see, you do that. You have a family altar. You do that and you will be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, we need to do things as families for the Lord besides go to church. Amen? Someone once said that strong churches require strong families. And this is true as long as those strengths are from the Lord. In other words, in the Lord. In other words, you can have a good family church, but Jesus Christ better be preeminent, or you aren't going to have much of a church. You must be in the Lord. And this is obviously impossible when married to an unsaved person. Amen? Again, we're looking at where Paul is given practical instructions to the Christians here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And so far, we've seen these instructions deal with our personal life, our family life, and also our church life. Looking in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 4, the Word of God says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You see, we ought to be helping each other as fellow laborers in the Lord's work. And we should be glad to see each other doing that. But the true fact, in churches everywhere, is that there are few who pull the bulk of the load. And they could use some help, particularly when the work is for the benefit of the gospel. Having a visitation team for that reason is important. The purpose is to get the gospel into more homes, to see more saved, to get more coming to church to grow and to lead others to the Lord. We see that Paul is giving practical instructions to you and I today. And they deal not only with our personal life, family life, church life, but our spiritual life. Looking in verse 4 of Philippians 4. The Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You see, spiritual life, our spiritual life ought to be a life of joy. And that joy is to come from the Lord. Amen. Again, we see in verse 4 of Philippians 4, it says, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord is the source of our joy, is it not? Joy in the Lord when souls are saved, when prayers are answered, when grace abounds like the grace to give, as we see in Macedonia. Amen. When we see Spirit-filled Christians, when Christ and His words are magnified as in a preaching service, amen. But it's sad how the joy, has been replaced by worldly pleasures. We see another area that Paul's practical instructions to us deals with is public life. Public life. In look in verse 5 of Philippians 4, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We're told to let our moderation be known to all men. You see, moderation requires restraint. In other words, we're to keep ourselves from excesses. We're to keep down undue criticism and make ourselves more effective with others. We're told of the child Samuel, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. And it's said of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You see, moderation means to avoid extremes and to be gentle and meek in your dealings with people. Like the saying goes, too much of a good thing can be bad for you. We see, as we move on, that Paul's practical instructions to us also deals with our prayer life. Our prayer life. Look in verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4. The words of God say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're to be careful for nothing. Don't worry, in other words, the Word of God tells us. Worry is a sin. Everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. And if we'll do this, you and I will get the peace that passes understanding. And then finally, we see in this passage, Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 8, that the practical instruction that Paul has given to Christians, to us today, also deals with the thought life in verse 8 of Philippians 4. The Word of God has to say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, we need to filter everything through this sieve here. To filter it through each one of these things that's mentioned here in verse 8. Whatever passes through is that upon which you can think. And we need to always ask ourselves these six questions when we begin to think about anything, my friend. We need to think and say, amen. Is it true? Is it true? Ask yourself, is it true? Or is it just speculation? Or conjecture? Or hearsay? Amen. And we think about it, is it true? And we also need to ask the question, is it honest? Am I really being honest here with myself and with the other person? And then is it just? Is it fair and right? Would it stand up in court? Is it pure? In other words, clean. Can you have these thoughts before God and before men? And then is it lovely? Charity from a heart that loves God and men. And then finally, and good report. Is it of good report, or is this trash out of the trash can, digging up dirt on someone? Amen. So we've seen here in this passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, that Paul gives practical instructions to the Christians and to you and I today that deal with. We saw in verse 1, our personal life. In verse 2, our family life. In verse 3, our church life. In verse 4, our spiritual life. In verse 5, our public life. And in verse 6 and 7, our prayer life, and then finally in verse 8, our thought life. Now we move on to the remaining verses of chapter 4 of Philippians, verses 9 through 23. And we entitle this passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 23, concerning giving and receiving. Concerning giving and receiving. Now, Paul starts this last part of the letter to the Philippians with a charge to do the things that they have learned from him. Amen. He says in verse 9 of Philippians 4, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See? Now, I've learned a lot of things. Amen. As he talks about those things which you have both learned and received, I've learned a lot of things that I did not receive. Amen. When I went to college. But then I learned a lot of things that I have received when I went to the local Bible Institute. Amen. He says there, heard and seen. Heard and seen. Jesus warned the disciples to do what they heard the Pharisees say, but not to do what they saw. You know, like, do what they say, not what they do, Paul, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 3. Paul said to do what you see, hear and see me do, because he walked the talk. Your walk talks always, but does your talk walk? Paul said, you do those things and God will be with you. Amen. God will back me on those things, he said. These are the things God wants you to be doing, Paul says, to the Philippians and to you and I today. Amen. Now, he turns his attention to giving and receiving. And if you're going to give and receive like Paul here, Paul gives us the things that we need to do. Amen. If you're going to give and receive like Paul, here are the things to do. First of all, concerning receiving to the recipient. He says in verse 10, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says in verse 10 of Philippians 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. See, offer, the recipient is to offer many thanksgivings to God. Many thanksgivings to God. Now, look what Paul said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 12. He said, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. See? So you're not only giving to the saints, you're giving to God. Amen. And then in verse, again, we're looking at concerning receiving, talking about the recipient who's receiving is to rejoice in the Lord. It is always to be content in verse 11. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. See, no matter where there is a lot coming in or none coming in, food and raiment, food and clothing are enough. The Word of God says we are to be content with such things as we have. In 1 Timothy, chapter 6 with me, in verse number 8, the Word of God says this, in having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. See, we are to be content with such things as you and I have. And then, not only as a recipient, are we to rejoice in the Lord, always be content, we need to learn how to handle the ups and the downs. Amen. Look at verse 12 of Philippians 4. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said he knew how to be content because he learned how. See, you and I need to know how to abound and be full when you have extra money, and it's very important to know how to deal with it. And we need to know how to be abased, hungry, and suffer need. Jesus did, and it didn't make him, didn't take him away from his work. And we see in John chapter 4, a great example is Jesus said, he must needs go to Samaria. Amen. Hard times will come. And we need to learn how to live in the valley as well as on the mountain. You see, the Jews in the wilderness never did learn this, and they complained the whole way. Amen. So, we're looking, as Paul received from others, he's telling us things we need to do as recipients. Amen. In verse 10, we saw we're to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 11, always be content. Verse 12, learn how to handle the ups and downs. And then in verse 13, don't become dependent on the gifts. Amen. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We need to remember that the source of your strength is the Lord. He may have you to take some money away from you to teach you more about how to rely on His strength. Amen. So we've looked at, as Paul was a recipient of giving, how the recipient, the things the recipient is to do. Rejoice in the Lord, always be content, learn how to handle the ups and downs, don't become dependent on the gifts. Now we want to look, as we're looking at in this passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 to 23, concerning giving and receiving. Now we want to look, as we've looked at concerning receiving, we want to look at concerning giving. In other words, to the giver. How to give? Well, first of all, give whenever there is an opportunity. In verse 10, again, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Lacking opportunity doesn't seem to fit with the disciples in Acts chapter 2 and 4, and the saints in Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Amen. We see that wherever there is an opportunity to give, lacking opportunity doesn't seem to fit with the disciples in the early church and here with the saints in Macedonia. Nevertheless, when you have the opportunity, give. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, the Word of God says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Notice, when they lacked opportunity, it really put Paul and others in a bind. Philippians chapter 2 with me. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 30, the Word of God has this to say. Philippians 2, verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death," amen, "not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." He's talking about Epaphroditus was nigh unto death. He was trying to supply Paul's need because of the lack of service that the Philippians provided toward Paul. Now, again, we're looking at some things concerning giving to the giver. Give whenever there is an opportunity. Give right after you get saved. Verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel which I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." After those that were saved there, amen, Philippians were saved, and as soon as they saved, they started giving. So we're to give right after you get saved in the beginning of the gospel. We ought to start giving right after we get saved into a local church. And Paul got to the Philippians on the second missionary journey, and right after he left, they started giving to him. And then another thing concerning giving, give as directed by the Lord. Amen. "At that time, no one else was given to Paul," he says here in verse 15. "They were the first. So giving should not be based on what others are doing or not doing. Others may drop a missionary or not take them on. Still, we must do as the Lord leads." Another thing about giving, we're to give continuously, once and again. Looking in verse 16 of Philippians 4. "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." The Philippians, they gave once and again. They kept giving continually. And then another thing about giving, give sacrificially. Amen. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices. Amen. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. We see the example of giving sacrificially of the poor widow. In Mark chapter 12 and verses 41 to 44, she gave all her living, and the others who put into the treasury gave from their abundance. So far as giving, as givers, how are we to give? Give whenever there is an opportunity. Amen. Give right after you get saved. Give as directed by the Lord. Gives continuously, and give sacrificially. And why should we give? Well, when you give, it shows your care for the minister. Amen. It proves the sincerity of your love for him. We see that. Amen. In verse 10. And then why should we give? It represents a job well done. We're always asking, is there anything we can do for you? The answer is yes. You can always give, and that will always be good. And you can count on that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Giving is how to get that compliment from God. Why give? It yields fruit to your account. In verse 17 of Philippians 4, soul saves are part yours. Amen. And then finally, why give? It ensures that your needs will be met. Amen. In verse 19 of Philippians 4 was written to a giving church. even if you were to give too much, God would still take care of your needs. This is His promise.